Welcome to the Conversations with Jesus podcast. I'm Johnny Lehman, a baptized man of God who has the amazing privileges of being a husband, father, and the pastor at Divine Savior Church in West Palm Beach, Florida. This podcast is designed to bring you the self-sacrificing love of Jesus found in the Bible through 15 to 20 minute episodes that focus on relevant life issues and what God has to say about them. Check out our website, DivineSaviorChurch.com, as well as our Facebook and Instagram pages to find out more about the incredible things God is doing through our church family. So for the last several weeks, we've been in this race metaphor as we witness Jesus racing to the cross for you and me in the Gospel of Mark. And when you think about a race, a running type race, often there's a team component, right? And when teammates train together, compete together, travel together, eat together, have fun together, they develop a deep bond. They may know each other better than anyone else. And because they know each other so well, they often are able to offer the exact encouragement needed. Now, in a much grander way, Jesus is our compassionate teammate. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows exactly what we need every time. And he knows how to meet all our needs. He does everything well. See, in Mark chapter 7 today, we're going to see Jesus' compassion on one of the most personal levels in all of Scripture, and I'm so excited to be in this story with you, to see him as he cares for and changes the life of the deaf man in Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. Here it is, this amazing section of the Gospel of Mark here, Mark 7, verses 31 through 37. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. And there some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven with a deep sigh, said to him, "Ephatha," which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the good news, the gospel of our Savior Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, I got a text from a teen in our church family who has a friend who's in a really tough place emotionally. And he asked if I'd be up for talking with her. And of course, it was humbling and just a huge honor that she wanted to talk with me. And so I got the chance to listen to her struggle. She had recently been diagnosed with anxiety and depression, and she had no idea how she would move forward. She told me how before her friend had shared Jesus with her, life seemed so bleak, but she was excited to keep growing closer to him. But now with this diagnosis, she said there's one question that kept entering her mind, this brand new Christian, over and over again. Why this? Why now, Jesus? Have you been there? Maybe you have a mental health condition, or a disability, or a weakness, or a struggle that you just can't see a silver lining in. Such a challenge leads us to the question that Jesus is going to answer as we look at Mark chapter 7 in the podcast this week, as he continues racing to the cross for you and for me. Here it is. What do you do when it feels like God made a mistake? Now, our modern context has answered this in a pithy way, but we're going to see today that our society doesn't understand what they're truly saying when they shout from the social media rooftops, "God made me this way." Have you ever heard somebody say that? Or have you seen it? What's the underlying belief being communicated? It's this. It's God's fault that I have this struggle, this personality, this flaw, this weakness, or this mentality. And not only that, but often the "God made me this way" life theme is used to justify a lifestyle or life actions that are classified as sinful, drawing people away from God in the Bible. Our culture reflects one of the decaying pillars of our sinful nature, doubting God's goodness. Looking at him much like Adam and Eve did all those thousands of years ago as they stared down the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If God truly loved me, he wouldn't have given me this struggle. Now, I can't help but wonder how many times that thought crossed the mind of the deaf man we run into in Mark 7. But before we get there, let's get our contextual bearings, right? The environment of the text. Let's stand there with Jesus. So the verses we're looking at this week mark the highest hilltop, really, of Jesus' popularity. Crowds are following him, now not just among Jews, but Gentiles, non-Jewish ethnicities too. And where we catch up with Jesus today is on the serene beach of the Sea of Galilee, but this time in the region of the Decapolis, which was an incredibly multicultural community, much like the diversity our church is placed in West Palm Beach. Maybe that's kind of where you are too. More and more places around the world just being filled with different cultures. But as the crowds swarm him, Jesus, he wants a one-on-one moment here. As he slowly walks the beach, pressed in by shoulders and hands, a group of friends barges in. This is what Mark tells us. He says, "Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him." These friends were desperate for Jesus' help. Decade after decade had gone by, and this man had yet to hear the sound of a human voice, yet to hear the sound of music or the waves crash on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Could Jesus finally fix this? This might be challenging, but let's do this. Can you try to get into the mind of that deaf man? Here you are being dragged to a person you've likely never met, in the middle of a crowd of people, not having any idea what was going on, no way to communicate. I'd be terrified. You can't communicate verbally, and you feel boxed in by chaos and confusion. You see the looks people are giving you, the same ones you've seen your entire life. The ones that you just can't stop thinking about. They think I'm weird. I'm less than. I'm inconvenience. When I think of such a viewpoint in life, which so many, maybe more than we realize, walking around us every day, have that mentality, that viewpoint of life and identity, my mind instantly goes to Austin. Austin was a friend of mine in fourth grade whose defining love, besides Jesus, was cheetahs. He loved pretending to be a cheetah. But Austin had some struggles, as we all do. His happened to be in the form of severe learning disabilities and a left arm that never grew and formed like most everyone else's. I'll never forget the one recess when he gave me a glimpse into what he faced every day. And truth be told, I don't remember what happened to cause this, but I still picture him sitting on the wood chips of the playground, his head buried in his arms, saying to me, "Why did Jesus do this to me?" Have you been in that place? God, why have you done this to me? My disability, my weakness, my vulnerability, my insecurities. Imagine what I could do if I didn't have this, if you took this away. And while you may not say it out loud, what's the implied thought? Jesus, you messed up. You made a mistake, and it's affected everything in my life. How does Jesus respond to such things? Look at what he does with this deaf and mute man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven with a deep sigh, said to him, "Ephatha," which means be opened. Well, the empathy and compassion of this moment can't help but melt you, right? Jesus deeply identifies with this man. He gives him what he needs, knowing even more about what he needed than the man himself did. Notice all the touching that happens here. How detailed and perfect Jesus is as he cares for him. He touches his ears, touches his mouth. He's doing sign language. Did you catch that, how he's doing that? Jesus is saying, "Okay, let's go over here. Just the two of us. Don't be scared. I'm going to help you. Now let's look to God." He comes into this man's cognitive world and uses terms, nonverbal speech that he can understand. He purposefully takes him away from the crowd to heal him. And maybe you're wondering, why does he do that? Wouldn't he want everyone to see this? Again, think about this man's life. He's always been a spectacle. He's deaf, can't speak like everyone else. Think about how often he must have been laughed at and made fun of. Jesus knows all of this and refuses to make a spectacle of him now. He's identifying with him emotionally. He has a deep sigh, the text says, a moan of pain. Why would Jesus be in pain? He's about to heal him after all. Why isn't Jesus grinning at the man and saying, I'm going to do something amazing for you? Well, there's a cost for Jesus' healing, for Jesus healing him. Mark uses a rare Greek word for deaf, not found anywhere else in the Bible except the Septuagint translation of Isaiah 35. It's a clear bridge. And this is what that verse says. Be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears, here it is, of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Mark is saying, do you see the blind opening their eyes? Do you see the deaf hearing? Do you hear the mute tongue singing? God has come as Isaiah has promised, right? God had come not only to give this man hearing, but to save him, to save you, to save me. See, Jesus moans because he knows what saving us will take. It means taking on that divine retribution himself, the vengeance that we deserved. He would endure. Jesus became mute to go as silently, to go as the silent lamb of sacrifice to the cross. He chose to be weak, broken down, to restore you. He came down to endure the divine retribution you and I deserved and to give you the healing that can only come from his hurt, his wounds, his suffering. His love calls to you too. Don't isolate yourself to think you're beyond healing. Don't be too despondent to accept what the gospel says about how loved you are. Never forget how the crowd rightly says he has done everything well. Yes, this includes how he put you together, including the things you wish you didn't have. Jesus has a purpose for it. And he's made one thing undeniable. He loves you more than anyone else. He says, look at my cross. See that I do care about everything you're facing because I've been through it already. I carried it for you then, and I carry it for you now. You're not a walking mistake. You belong to me. His grace gives the answer to the question that kicked off this whole podcast conversation. What do you do when it feels like God made a mistake? You race to the cross of Jesus, where through faith, a love finds you that causes you to sing and struggle. By God's grace, you've been given a life of boldness, knowing Jesus does everything well, including by giving you the shortcomings, the disabilities, the struggles you have. Jesus doesn't make mistakes. Now we can say God made me this way, not to justify sin, nor blame him for pain, but rejoice. God made me this way. Rejoice that he has given us such weaknesses to lead us back to his overcoming, healing, and transforming love. He's given you the struggles he has for a reason, the thorns. Right? And next week, we're going to especially unpack that when it comes to what it means to bear our crosses for him daily. But right now in this vein, I can't help but think of a friend of mine named Robert. He's been deaf since he was born. And because of that, it became his mission, even still today, to connect more and more deaf people with Jesus. In fact, he said to me once, without my deafness, I wouldn't have the mission Jesus has given to me. This is the beauty of our inadequacies. Through them, we've been given a grace-given empathy to reach souls with similar struggles and point them to the cross. Even more, these weaknesses pull us back to the cross for ourselves and keep our Savior's love always before us. Just imagine this with me. What would your life be like if you lived a life of thanksgiving for what God has given or taken away from you? That's what Satan fears most. When you live purely and only for Jesus, trusting him even in loss and shortcomings, you get to touch people with the personal healing message only Jesus can give. It's here that when we are weak, then we are strong, because when we see how reliant we are on Jesus, how the Lord we trust does everything well, nothing can snatch your joy. And we can shout in triumph until the curtain closes on this world. Take the world, but give me Jesus. And here's the best part. He has already gladly given himself to you. And I'll never let you go. Amen. As you walk with God today and the rest of your life, and you think about those days when those shortcomings are just always before you, in those moments, run to the cross and see in Jesus the healing, the perspective, and yes, that beautiful hope that one day all those shortcomings, they will be gone when you're home in that place of glory and perfection and harmony and peace. It's what gives us joy to get up each day knowing our God has an amazing plan for us. God's richest blessings, you live for Him now and always.